805-6477. Visit nhpr.org, and thank you.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Sunday, another first occurs in the world of astronomy. The private company SpaceX will launch its Dragon cargo capsule, ferrying supplies to the International Space Station, and then, here's the new part, it'll bring stuff back to Earth. Previous supply rockets would just burn up on the return voyage, along with the trash they were carrying. This cargo capsule, however, will return loaded with valuable samples from experiments conducted in space and some of the equipment used to conduct those experiments. But what hasn't changed is how humans travel back and forth from the International Space Station. American astronauts and others are completely dependent upon the Russians and their Soyuz capsule for transportation to the ISS. An interesting situation, given current tensions over Russians' actions in the Ukraine. Meanwhile, other astronomy news made headlines this winter, including a jackpot of extrasolar planets found by the venerable Kepler telescope, and a movie about space won 7 Academy Awards. Today in The Exchange, our sky guys are back to bring us up to superstellar speed on these items and more. Let's hear from you, The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. Our sky guys are Mal Cameron, former astronomy and space educator at the McAuliffe-Shepard Discovery Center. Mal, welcome back. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Laura. Nice to be here.
And John Gene Forty is with us as well, co-founder of the Astronomical Society of Northern New England and astronomy instructor for Granite State College and UNH. And John, welcome back as always.
Thank you, Laura. Great to be here.
By the way, these gentlemen always wear their space ties when they come in for our astronomy updates. And if you want to see which ties they picked this time, you can go to our website, nhpr.org, and our Facebook page and check out John and Mel's ties that they're wearing this hour. Gentlemen, let's talk about the International Space Station. Several news items about it, as I mentioned. But Mal, just first of all, remind us what the International Space Station does. It's been there for a while. It's easy to forget about it. Who's up there and what are they doing?
Well, the space station went up, started being put together over 10 years ago now. And they've been adding parts to it. It's been complete for several years. And the crew members spend about 6 months each on board. And they come from all different parts of the world. Primarily, it's Russians and Americans who have the main control over it. But their prime duty is to do experiments on board. They take pictures from space. They do what we call not zero gravity, but microgravity experiments on board with various solutions and chemicals and things, and do tests and see how do they do things, what can we do in space that we can't do on Earth, that sort of thing. And a lot of those experiments are going to be going up on that SpaceX that you mentioned, and some of the results will be packaged aboard that craft to be sent back to Earth as well.
Now, the shuttle used to do that, right? Ferry this type of thing back and forth.
Exactly. But now the shuttle is gone. All the shuttles have been distributed to various museums around the country. And now we rely, as you said, on Russia to get our crew up there. We just had a crew that came back from the space station after their six-month tour. And a new crew will be going up again next week to join the three that are remaining there. They try to have six people up there at all times. And they come from different – there are 16 countries involved in this, so they all contribute to it. The European
Space – which is pretty cool, actually, when you think about it. You think
about
all the trouble and tension in the world, and yet here are people getting together and working on this.
Right. The primary thing they're learning is the effects of that microgravity on humans in space. They do a lot of testing on what happens to the human body in space because it's a testing ground for long-term space duration flights to eventually Mars, for example. And this is the only way to learn about it. 6 months, for some people, is not quite a lot, but it turns out that they're planning next year, in fact, about a year from this month, to send up two people that will spend an entire year on the space station, one American and one Russian. And that's going to be a long-term look, see more what's going to happen to them, looking at their bodies medically before they go up into space, and then seeing what happens to them over that one-year duration in space. They're training for it right now.
Physical effects and maybe even psychological effects from, you know, living in such close quarters for so long, so far from Earth.
Exactly. If you want to send somebody to Mars, that's going to be three-quarters of a year, depending on where Mars is at the time.
Just to get out there. And the Americans are definitely interested in that. The Chinese are interested. A lot of folks are interested in sending people to Mars. Well, this is the elephant
in the
room.
I know a few people I like to send to Mars. Would you? I don't
know. Present company excluded,
okay.
I hope. You know, the elephant in the room, John, is that Americans and Russians are cooperating so closely in space. As I said in my introduction, you know, the only way we can get up to the International Space Station now is thanks to the Russians. What are your thoughts on that, given all the tensions, the ever-rising tensions that we see between Russia and the U.S. here on Earth?
Well, maybe we can think of the Russian-American cooperation at the International Space Station as kind of a tie that keeps governments talking and focused on something positive despite other things that are going on. And I think that's a great goal for space to reach, to help to bring people together. Different countries, different people from different cultures, different ideas of how things should be done, working together for a common goal to learn about space and how what happens in space can affect us and how space can affect the human body, as Mal said. So I think it's a great example of us looking beyond our petty differences, because looking at the big picture, this crisis in the Ukraine will pass, hopefully peacefully, and yet we still have this sustained cooperation at the space station. So I think it's a great example of what space can do to keep us together.
So you're not expecting Vladimir Putin to say, sorry, Americans, I don't like your reaction to, you know, my actions in Ukraine. No more rides on the Soyuz.
Well, he very well may say that if he gets mad enough, depending on what we do.
Yeah, because I wonder about that. Otherwise, they're stuck. They have no way to get back.
He's a good businessman. Every time we send an American up to the space station on the Soyuz spacecraft and bring one down, it's $70 million. And a good portion of the Russian space program is banking on the fact that they're selling seats to the space station to other countries. So it's a source of revenue for them. So there's an economic benefit to them for kind of overlooking what's going on Earth.
Wow, it's interesting. All right, the number here in the exchange for you to join our Sky Guys is 1-800-892-6477. Join us as we check in about the latest from the International Space Station. A little bit later on, we'll talk about NASA's announcement of a jackpot of new planet finds, so-called extrasolar planets. We'll find out more in just a moment. The number for you to join us now, though, with your questions and comments about some of these headlines from the world of astronomy is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. You know, Mal, there's a lot more attention lately to China's space program. Seems like they've got big plans, including their own International Space Station.
Yeah, we don't hear too much about China unless you get onto the websites like space.com or something. You'll talk about some of them. But we were talking before the show, and you were surprised to find out they even had a space station already up there, which they
do. I didn't realize that.
It's not as big as the International Space Station, but it's probably not even as big as the old Mir space station that Russia had, at least not yet. But they did have a couple of, and I forgot what they call them, taekwondo-nauts or something like that, instead of astronauts or cosmonauts. They have their own term for their, who are heroes in their country as well, who have been in space. They also have recently landed a small rover on the moon that had its little problems to rove around, but they were able to do that. And their goal is by 2017, they hope to send a robotic mission to the moon, an unmanned mission, that will scoop up a sample of moon dust on the surface, put it in a capsule, and bring it back to Earth. So, which is similar to what the United States is thinking about doing at some point when they go to Mars to bring back a sample of of Mars stuff.
So far, samples from Mars have just been data. We actually haven't touched or seen the dirt. Is that right, Matt?
Well, we've touched them with the robotic rovers that are on Mars.
Yes.
And analyzed them on the onboard laboratories.
But physically here.
But we have not brought any back here.
Wow.
But pieces of Mars have come back here on their own in the form of Mars meteorites that they have found primarily in Antarctica and so on. We've found a few there that we know came from Mars because of the analysis that had been done by probes on Mars matches what we find in these pieces on Earth.
There are about 100 samples of Mars rocks that have fallen to Earth as meteorites.
Right.
So,
talk a little bit more about China, John, and what some of their ambitions are. Again, they've got their own internet. Well, it's not an international space station; their
right.
own space station.
That's an important distinction. The Chinese space station, as Mal said, is very small. I think it just recently was visited by three Chinese astronauts. It's not continually staffed, so there's no one up there right now. So when people are launched to the Chinese space station, they come home to an empty house, if you will.
They have to bring their own food.
They have to bring
There's
everything
nobody waiting
with
dinner.
But it's a first step for them, and they have huge ambitions in space.
Well, in the movie Gravity, right, that won 7 Academy Awards, wasn't that partly based, John, on a Chinese space station and someone being rescued by Chinese space station astronauts?
Yes. I mean, in the movie...
they're excited about that from what I've read.
Actually, the Chinese are very complimentary of the movie because,
yes.
of course, it puts them in a very favorable light. And I think it's great. I thought that aspect of the movie was good. And of course, the Chinese are no dummies. They know that they got good PR for that without having to spend any money. So, but I can tell you that the Chinese space program, there will be eventually in the very near future, a wake-up call to the other nations of the world, particularly this one, who seems to vary on terms of our commitment, long-term commitment to space, that the Chinese are going to do something that we didn't expect them to do, and it's going to be like October 4th, 1957, when the Russians launched the Sputnik probe. We'll say, oh my gosh, what are we going to do now? They're ahead of us. And then we'll spend a lot of money to catch up, and you know the story.
All right. Well, more conversation with our Sky Guys in just a moment. We'll find out about that bumper crop of extrasolar planets announced by NASA just recently. And take your questions and comments at 1-800-892-6477. Let's check in now with our March Fun Drive.
This is Jeremy Hobson from NPR's Here and Now, and I know how it goes. Mornings are hectic. There is so much you have to do, and you have barely enough time to do it all. You try to make each minute as economical as possible. You're fixing lunch while the coffee's brewing, reading email while eating breakfast. Well, NHPR is doing the same thing this morning by raising the entire day's goal in just 4 hours. You can help them make these 4 hours as economical as possible by making a gift. If you're not a member, become one. If you're already a member, make an additional gift. It only takes a minute, and you can do it while brushing your teeth.
Just call 1-888-805-6477 or log on to nhpr.org while you have a steady hand on your toothbrush. I'm Virginia Prescott. It's the first day of our March Fund Drive, and we're only asking for your financial support until 10 o'clock this morning, about 39 minutes from now. And then the rest of the day is going to be fundraising free. Call us at 1-888-805-6477. 6477. You can join and support NHPR by giving $60, $120, maybe $100, maybe a dollar a day, and help pay for the programs that you depend on. You can also give online at nhpr.org. And here's Brady Carlson with an update.
We are looking to meet a very exciting goal before 10 o'clock. We're just 79 gifts away from doing that. Make yours the next gift at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org. When we hear from 79 more people making gifts by 10 o'clock, NHPR earns an additional $10,000 from the Jack and Dorothy Byrne Foundation and will cancel the drive for the rest of the day. So you make a lot of good things happen when you make that gift. Let's hear from you right now.
1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org. This is really the only place that you can hear this program. The Exchange is New Hampshire's only statewide call-in program, and it is a forum for issues and ideas and dialogue, something that many people regret is rare in our media environment. And it is here because of you. Your support helps keep this forum for real, productive conversations on the air and for learning about new ideas like we're doing today with the Sky Guys. Support that today by calling us at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
In space and in launches, you know that that first day of the launch of the mission, that launch is where things are successful or maybe not as successful as hoped. If you have a good launch, you're probably going to have a good mission. Well, we're in our launch phase right now here on this March Fun Drive, and we are looking to get way up into the air with your help to be successful throughout the March Fun Drive and to help pay for the programs you enjoy on New Hampshire Public Radio. So as Alan Shepard, the first American in space from Derry, New Hampshire, said, let's light this candle. Make your gift right now at 1-888-805-6477 or visit nhpr.org.
You said you wanted less on your fundraising. So today we are trying to meet our fundraising goal for the entire day by 10 o'clock. So please support our broadcast of The Exchange. Help light this candle and help us raise a day's worth of contributions in just 4 hours. That 4 hours ends at 10 o'clock, just under 40 minutes away. Call us at 1-888-805-6477 or make your contribution online at nhpr.org.
You're the one who's going to make this goal successful. You're the one who's going to put that additional $10,000 to work from the Jack and Dorothy Byrne Foundation. $10,000 pays for a lot of conversations on The Exchange. It helps bring you great, thoughtful interviews on The Diane Rehm Show and news and information throughout the day, throughout the week, month, and year. You make all of that possible with one phone call right now to 1-888-805-6477. Just 36 minutes left to go and just 79 gifts left to make. So let's hear from you now. You can also make a gift at nhpr.org.
If you listen to NHPR regularly, you know it's kind of like a faucet. Every time you turn us on, a seemingly endless supply of news and information comes issuing forth. But like water, NHPR is a precious resource. And though you don't need to worry about conserving it, you do need to do your part in preserving it. You can preserve NHPR right now by becoming a sustaining member today. Call us at 1-888-805-6477 or give online at nhpr.org. 77 gifts left to go.
And when you make yours at, say, the $15 a month level, we've got a special thank you gift for you. It's the new NHPR boat bag. It's lightweight, but it's durable. It's super spacious. You can bring your groceries home, or you can take things home from the hardware store. It's a big white bag with red handles. It's got the NHPR logo and our landscape graphic, the same one that you see when you visit nhpr.org. You can take a look at that graphic and the bag when you visit nhpr.org. And when you make a gift of $15 a month, that bag can be yours. So visit nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
Like NHPR, you can carry it everywhere. It is useful. And you get more news, more Diane Rehm, more All Things Considered with less on-air fundraising today if you help us get this. 77 gifts left to go in the next a little over a half an hour. And that is what you're getting today. Actually, you're getting all of these shows with no fundraising interruptions. And that's why your financial support is important. So we can meet today's goal by 10 and enjoy the rest of the day fundraiser free. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Just 35 minutes left to go and 77 gifts left to make this $10,000 challenge. $10,000 will keep The Exchange strong. Your gift right now will keep The Exchange strong and help us wrap up our fundraising for the day at 10 o'clock. Here's the number to call to do your part. It's 1-888-805-6477, our website, nhpr.org. Thanks so much.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and from Bernstein Shores Education Law Group, providing sound legal counsel to New Hampshire's public and private educational institutions in Manchester and at bernsteinshore.com. An artistic tile of Nashua with a showroom featuring over 10,000 tiles and knowledgeable designers for projects large and small. More information available at theperfecttile.com. New Hampshire weather, we have a winter storm warning in effect for most of New Hampshire till noon tomorrow. Winter weather advisory in effect in Hillsborough and Rockingham counties till noon tomorrow. By the time things wrap up tomorrow, total accumulations 18 to 24 inches in the North Country, 4 to 8 inches in central parts of the state, and 2 to 4 inches in southern New Hampshire. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we've got our sky guys here. We're finding out the latest in astronomy news. We've heard about the latest from the International Space Station, including Russian-American cooperation up there. We'll talk in just a minute about a jackpot of new planet finds by NASA, and later on get some highlights coming up to watch out for in this month's night sky, including a lunar eclipse. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. John Gianforte, at the end of February, NASA announced a bumper crop of extrasolar planets. That's the ongoing tally of those planets detected in other solar systems than our own. The tally jumped by more than 700 extrasolar planets. John, you've been keeping track of this for us. Wow, what does this mean?
Well, it either was a very busy night for NASA astronomers, or that the data has been reduced from the Kepler mission, which was launched in March of 2009. And has been collecting data on planet candidates. So far, Kepler has detected more than 3,600 planet candidates. Now, a planet candidate is different from a confirmed planet. What NASA announced in late February was 715 confirmation of former candidates to the confirmed status.
So we know that there are other planets out there. Do we know if they're gas giants like Jupiter or nice rocky places like ours?
Yes.
Both.
We know by utilizing different methods to detect the planets, we can determine things like the planet's mass, its size, and therefore once you know a planet's size and mass, you can determine what its density is. And that tells you whether it's a gas giant or a rocky planet. We also know how far a planet is away from its sun. So we can tell if the planet is in the habitable zone or
the Goldilocks zone, right.
Where liquid water could exist on the surface of the planet. So there are multiple techniques astronomers have used, and using different techniques on the same group of planets tells us a wealth of information about the planet. Now, we're even beginning to probe the atmospheres of these extrasolar planets, which is amazing science. It's more like science fiction, but it's reality.
So play this out for us, John. I mean, 3, 4, 5 years from now, will we be just updating the tally? Here's some other planets. Isn't that interesting? We'll never be able to get there, so who cares? Or will we be talking about finding planets like ours?
Well, it's a really good question, and it's a question that I get a lot from students and people interested in space. With 1,782 confirmed planets orbiting relatively nearby stars, it's a big deal because many of the first planets we detected, extrasolar planets we detected, were gas giant planets orbiting really close to their parent stars that offered no possibility, as far as we know, of supporting life. But as our techniques got better, once the Kepler mission was launched, as well as other missions to detect extrasolar planets, we found that Earth-sized planets and planets just a little bigger than Earth are very, very plentiful.
Plentiful.
And in fact, astronomers now believe that planets could outnumber stars in the Milky Way galaxy.
Which makes sense, given that our one sun has, 8 or 9 planets, if you still count Pluto. We won't go there right now, but
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So, Mel, your thoughts on this? I mean, we've been tracking this for a long time.
Well, it's pretty extraordinary, as John says, because here we are sitting on our lonesome little blue dot in the sky, in space, rather, that with our sky around us, I guess. But we always were... I'm sure throughout history, as a species, we've always wondered about what is up there.
Are we alone?
Are
we
alone?
That's the big question.
Carl Sagan did that in his day as well. and said that if we ever find a place where there is life like us, intelligent life, that would be very profound. But if we never find a place like that, that's also very profound. You know, what does that mean to us if we do find this? And the one thing about this Kepler, 715 planets all in a whack sounds like a lot, and it is, but Kepler as a probe, you have to remember, is only looking at one small part of the sky. It's looking at an area of the sky in what we call the summer triangle. And if you went out, you could still find the summer triangle. Unless you stay up late at night. But it's an area of the sky that you could pretty much hold your hand up against the sky and cover just the area that it's looking at. It looks simultaneously at 150,000 stars just in that part of the sky. And it's found all these planets. Now, if you multiply that by the rest of the sky around you, imagine what the potential is.
I can't even wrap my head around that, Mal. It's so big.
Well, as John said, it's like more than the stars. There are more multiple planets going around stars, basically. And it's going to be very soon, I'm sure, it won't take too long before we find something with an atmosphere on it. We can detect that atmosphere using spectroscopy. We can figure out what's in that atmosphere, what are the elements there. And what we're looking for is things like methane, which would indicate that it is something that was created by something alive. It could be bacteria, could be something else. If you're looking for trace elements like that, that means that somewhere along the line, we're going to find someplace where we're reasonably certain that something is living there. And what is that going to do for our psyche?
Wow. And the possibility that how do we get there and check it out since we haven't been able to get to Mars yet.
That's the tough part because you're talking light years away.
Right. So. I want to remind everybody that the number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Also, a reminder that it's the first day of our March fund drive. We're trying to raise the entire day's goal by 10 a.m., not that long from now, to ensure that the rest of the drive today is fund drive free. How can you help? Well, you can reach that goal with us with your contribution right now at nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477. I want to ask both of you about something that's been happening that's gotten a lot of attention, John, a lot closer in than the far beyond that we're talking about. That's asteroid concerns, asteroid fears, asteroid paranoia even after that big explosion in Russia about a year ago. What's happening now in terms of new efforts to detect asteroids and make sure they don't bang into us again?
As a result of some of the recent close encounters of asteroids with the Earth, governments of the Earth, including the United Nations, has taken this topic much more seriously and has asked governments around the world to throw their hat into the ring to help detect potentially hazardous asteroids, PHAs, as NASA is fond of calling them. Currently, there are 1,000
PHAs, potentially hazardous asteroids.
And there's a whole set of factors that go into classifying an object as such, but it has to be above 0.6 kilometers and has to get within about 5 million miles of the Earth as it orbits the sun. And there are a lot of those objects, some 1,458 today. But that number changes as new asteroids are detected by these various methods. So there's a lot of paranoia, some of it legitimate, much of it not. Our solar system, since it formed some 4.6 billion years ago, has been shaped by impacts. Luckily for us, in more recent times, over the past billion years or so, the number of those impacts that take place on a daily or yearly basis has decreased a lot because the planets are like little vacuum cleaners, sucking up a lot of this planetary debris that happens to cross planetary orbits. All, but not all of them. So the effort is now to find asteroids that are larger than about 140 meters. That's about 459 feet across, and try to find all of them. That's the grand mission, is to find all of those asteroids above 459 feet in diameter.
Well, and again, everybody a little nervous after that big one made it through last year, but it's good to know people are paying more attention to this. Maybe we can thank Jupiter, John, with its big gravity for sucking up a lot of this stuff before it gets close to us. We're going to take another short break now and check in very quickly with our March Fund Drive.
Thank you, Laura. I'm Brady Carlson here with Virginia Prescott. We are hopefully in the final hour of our fundraising today because we're looking to make today's goal in just 4 hours by 10 o'clock. And with your help right now, we can make that happen. Here's how you do your part. You call 1-888-805-6477 or you visit nhpr.org. It's been a very exciting morning so far. Let's finish strong.
64 more gifts in 24 minutes is going to keep us on track to meet the goal for the morning. And meeting this goal will ensure that your favorite programs like The Diane Rehm Show, like Here and Now, like All Things Considered, will be fun drive free for the rest of the day. So support NHPR now. Help us make this goal. Help keep the rest of the day fundraising free. Call us at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
And when we make that goal, when the 64 more gifts come in the door before 10 o'clock, NHPR gets an additional $10,000 from the Jack and Dorothy Byrne Foundation and will cancel the drive for the rest of the day. That means we'll put that additional challenge money to work for the exchange, for the Diane Rehm Show, for the programs that you love and that you listen to. And you don't have to come up with it because it's already taken care of. So take advantage of this special opportunity right now and call 1-888-805-6477. We've got a little ways to go and about 23 minutes left. So let's make it happen.
And a terrific gift for those of you who can put away $15 a month to support New Hampshire Public Radio, the NHPR Boat Bag. It's lightweight, it's durable, white with red handles, and it has the red NHPR logo. Also, it's got nice little vista of the seacoast, the mountains, the city centers of New Hampshire. That's why you listen, because you want to support New Hampshire Public Radio and the station that makes New Hampshire Talk. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
What we're doing with
this is Ira Glass of This American Life. And you know what you hear on a lot of other radio stations? You hear this.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Matt.
We own Rhino Shield of New England. Check our track record. You'll see that Rhino Shield is the original permanent paint system for home exteriors.
Okay, now these guys sound like they run a perfectly good business, making a perfectly good product. But come on commercial radio, this can be like 15 minutes of every hour. It can be more.
Our results have made Rhino Shield America's premium brand. It's why other major brands.
I want these guys to have a healthy business, but can I just say, life is too short to spend it listening to ads. And yes, a few times a year here on public radio, we interrupt programming for our pledge drives. That's annoying, but it is nothing compared to this.
Don't paint. Don't final. Go Rhino.
And I bring this up because it is your donation that lets us survive without ads like this. Donations are the reasons that we can have independent news coverage and an idealistic mission to put voices and stories and analysis and perspectives on the air you simply cannot hear anywhere else. That is why I donate to public radio myself, because I want to hear that stuff on the radio and I do not enjoy listening to ads. If you like the ads, good for you. Godspeed. If you don't like the ads, the only reason we don't have them is because people like you and me, we give money. Here is how you pledge.
You call 1-888-805-6477 or you visit nhpr.org. Now just 61 gifts left to make our goal for the day, to end the drive for the rest of the day and to earn an additional $10,000. But just 20 minutes left to do it. We're trying to keep fundraising to a minimum, but less fundraising on the air doesn't mean that the costs of bringing you great public radio have gone down. It just means we're trying to raise the money faster. Help us do that right now with your gift today.
Call us now at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org. 58 gifts now left to go. We started this morning with 350. Well, we're counting down, and we do it one phone call at a time, one contribution at a time to nhpr.org. And when we get there, we will have an additional $10,000 from the Jack and Dorothy Byrne Foundation. So whatever you can afford to give today, you can add $10,000 to that, because you are going to make that happen. Just under 20 minutes minutes left. 58 gifts at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org, and the rest of the day will be fundraiser-free.
Make your gift right now. Join John in Bedford, who said there's no better source of news and information. Thank you, John. Join Paula in Durham, who says NHPR keeps me wonderfully connected. You can join Scott in Cape Nettic, Maine, who said, I love Diane Rehm and Fresh Air. You know why you tune in to New Hampshire Public Radio. You know the role that it plays in your life. Now take a moment to help keep it strong with your direct financial support, with your gift right now at 1-888-805-6477.
Because of the 300 people who called this morning already, the rest of this day is going to be fundraiser-free. Well, now we're looking for 56 more fans of the Diane Rehm Show, of Fresh Air, of All Things Considered, of The Exchange, to help make the rest of this day fundraising-free. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org. And in addition to making the day fundraising-free, we'll have an additional $10,000 to spend on the programming that you rely on.
You know, when we talk about the Sky Guys who are on The Exchange today, you know that the astronauts aren't the only ones in the team when a space mission is taking place. Yes, they're up there doing what astronauts do, but there's this whole team of people that supports that effort to make sure that it's successful. Well, that's the role you're playing right now. You're keeping this mission going, and it's a pretty exciting and important mission to keep New Hampshire informed about the issues that matter, to bring you new ideas and new perspectives. You make all of that possible with your gift. So be part of this team right now. Make our mission strong at 1-888-805-6477.
56 gifts left to go. No, we've got a countdown. 54 gifts left to go in the next 18 minutes. We'll help get us an additional $10,000 from the Jack and Dorothy Byrne Foundation. We definitely don't want to leave $10,000 sitting on the table that could be ours, and we can do it with your help. 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org. Thank you for your support.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 944. Good morning. New Hampshire weather, winter storm warning in effect for most of New Hampshire till noon tomorrow. We have a winter weather advisory in effect in Hillsborough and Rockingham counties till noon tomorrow, with total accumulations of 18 to 24 inches for the North Country, 4 to 8 inches in the central parts of the state, and 2 to 4 inches in southern New Hampshire. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, the legislature looks at limits on talking and texting behind the wheel. Join us tomorrow for that conversation. Today in The Exchange, our Sky Guys are here giving us the latest astronomy news, and you can join us at 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. And John Gianforte, the astronomy world is pretty excited over a new TV show called Cosmos on Fox and National Geographic TV, hosted by Neil deGrasse Tyson. A lot of folks were watching this on Sunday night, including yours truly, hoping that it'll inspire a new generation of space nuts.
I think Dr. Tyson and the producers of the show were also hoping that. And I think they succeeded, at least in the first episode, of capturing people's imagination. Certainly they had captured people's attention before Sunday night. And from what I'm hearing since then, a few days have gone by, certainly the planetarium and the education community, as well as the astronomical community, is raving about the effort of the new Cosmos episode.
Now, there's a pretty cool backstory to this, right? I mean, for those who don't know, it stems from the original show, Cosmos, right? Carl Sagan's widow had a lot to do with this.
Yes, she did. Anne Druyan has helped to produce this this latest series of 13. And in fact, Anne appeared in some of the original Cosmos series updates that Sagan did shortly before he died. And she actually appeared in those updated segments toward the end of the programs. So the original Cosmos series that came out in 1980, along with the book of the same title by Sagan, inspired millions of people to be interested in space and to some to pursue science and astronomy as a career.
Including Neil deGrasse Tyson, who at the very end of the show did just a heartwarming bit on his own personal relationship with Sagan.
I thought that was one of the best parts of the show where as a young child, Sagan took Tyson under his arm, so to speak, and spent time with him and probably had a lot to do with him choosing that as a field. It was really heartwarming, I agree. It was one of the best parts of the show, very realistic, and showed us what Sagan wrote in his journal on that day. It was really, really well done. If you haven't seen the show, there are places to see it online. I hardly recommend taking a look at the first episode so that when next Sunday rolls around, you'll be ready to go with episode number two.
Well, and one more question about this, and I'll throw this to you, Mal. The first installment, which shows you what a bunch of space geeks we are because we all watched it, talked about a very important person in the world of astronomy that I had never heard of, Friar Bruno, who was sort of in the middle of Copernicus and Galileo.
Yes, he was, and he was a friar, but he got fried because he literally burnt at the stake because he had the audacity to say that the Earth was not the center of the universe, that it was just a planet and that our star, our sun, was just a normal star. And heresy, I mean, imagine back in those days, early 1600s or late 1500s, but... just several years before Galileo, but he was a contemporary of Galileo in that sense. Galileo lucked out.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder that whole
segment.
They
just put him under house arrest,
right,
you know, later in his life. But yeah, Bruno got burned at the stake, and a lot of people don't know about him, but, you know, geeks like us, we knew about him, and I was just recalling a trip I made to Rome a couple of years ago. My wife and I visited Italy. Only because John had done it earlier, so we wanted to do it.
He had to keep up with
trying
John.
To follow the footsteps of Galileo, for example. But in any event, we were in Rome, and there was a big open marketplace in Rome that we happened to go to that was recommended by the place where we were staying, a little B&B out there. And so we were able to walk there, and we're roaming around looking at fresh veggies and all that. And all of a sudden, I look off in one end of it, and there's this big black statue of somebody. And I said, well, interesting. And it was all covered with pigeon stuff.
Droppings.
And droppings. And got to be careful what we say. But it was but it was kind of ignored in the middle of all this. And I said, I wonder who that is. And it turned out it was Bruno. It was a statue to him. And around the edges of it, there were little relief panels that depicted his trial and his burning at the stake and all that. And people were ignoring it. It just surprised me. I was excited. I started taking pictures of it. It has this big glowering hood over his head and all that. But a very famous person because he's the one that really got people to think about it. And then later on, Galileo was starting to confirm it. And, of course, then Copernicus came along in 1543, is the one who started it by publishing his book that said, yeah, the sun's in the middle and we're going around the sun. Now, Copernicus got away scot-free because the book was published on the day he died. So he went out gracefully his way. But, yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on back then.
Yeah, so in the middle of Copernicus and Galileo comes this gentleman.
Exactly.
Bruno. Yeah, and it's
right.
A fascinating story. And the show shows you how, you know, he kept getting tossed out of country after country, academy after academy, and mm-hmm. he never gave up. He was imprisoned for, you know, I don't know, 7 years or something and tortured, and he never gave up on this
vision. It's very hard to break the mold on tradition if you've been indoctrinated all your life to say, this is the way you must think about things.
Well, think about what he was proposing. What got him into trouble with the church wasn't even that he was an adherent to the sun-centered universe. What really got him into trouble was that he was talking about infinite worlds, that there are other suns, other Earths like ours, which really riled the Catholic Church because it took away the prominence of Earth as the center of the universe in all aspects, religious and physical.
Right.
And that's what they really, really objected to, this infinite worlds, which Bruno is noted for. He foresaw it back in 1599 and before that there are other planets with people living on them out in space. So think how drastic that would have been in that time. Right? Not only can you not think of what you want to think about, it was a kind of a very big departure from what was the norm at the time.
Well, and interesting, given our earlier conversation, right, John, about that extrasolar planet count that NASA announced a couple weeks ago, and now we know that there are other planets out there. We still don't know exactly what they're like, if anyone's on them, but it's kind of a validation for Bruno.
And then the same thing just a decade later when Galileo had his crew telescope and found these moons orbiting Jupiter. And the church did not want to believe that because nothing, the only thing that can orbit anything is the Earth is in the middle and everything has to go around the Earth.
I want to remind everybody that it is indeed our first day of our first March Fund Drive. We're trying to raise today's entire goal by 10 o'clock. So just a couple minutes from now, you can make sure that happens with your help right now, your contribution, nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477. Well, gentlemen, we'd be remiss if we didn't close out by just a little preview, Mal Cameron, of what's happening in the night sky over the next couple weeks. If the clouds clear, which eventually they will, what can we look forward to seeing, Mal?
Clouds, snow, muck.
Beyond that March
hopefully,
stuff.
Hopefully by the weekend we'll be able to go out. And if you want to go out, there are some planets you can find in the morning sky if you're up early. And now with the time change, chances
sure.
are it's dark when you get up. Depending on where you go to work. But just before the sun rises, if you look, you have to look very carefully for it. You can find Mercury very low on the horizon in the east, of course. And then up above that, you're going to find Venus, which would be the easiest one to find. That's going to be a really bright, non-twinkling dot in the sky. And if you mark it on your calendar for later next week, like the 26th and 27th, you'll find a nice waning crescent moon near Venus in the sky, which would be fun to look at. Mars is up in the night sky and Jupiter. Mars is rising a couple of hours after the sun sets. And you look for that nice reddish-looking dot again. And think about the rovers that are up there roaming around and the things going around it. And someday we'll land there and how far away it is. And Jupiter is very high in the sky, too, up in the area of Gemini, just above the big arm of Orion.
All right. Well, gentlemen, we'll close it out there. Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. Great to see you. See you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Great to be here.
We'll check in now with our March Fund Drive. See how it's going.
And thanks so much, Laura. I'm Virginia Prescott. I'm here with Brady Carlson and you. And you are who we are looking to right now in the next 7 minutes. We need 41 gifts at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org to keep the rest of this day fundraiser free.
When we make that goal and we hear from 41 more people making gifts before 10 o'clock, NHPR gets an additional $10,000 from the Jack and Dorothy Byrne Foundation, and we cancel the drive for the rest of the day. It would be a real shame to have come this close to the goal and not make it, to not earn that $10,000. So with 6 minutes left now, just 39 gifts. Call now, 1-888-805-6477.
Maybe you fancy yourself doing something heroic. Well, this is the morning for it. You can do the equivalent of galloping in on horseback just by calling us at 1-888-805-6477 or logging on to nhpr.org. You will feel great. You will know that you helped NHPR earn an additional $10,000 and keep the day fundraising free. You won't be benighted, but you could get a tote bag. 1-888-805-6477. 36 gifts left and about 6 minutes to do it.
And you will, in fact, be getting the gift of uninterrupted programming for the rest of the day. It's a gift you can give to yourself and to everyone else who appreciates New Hampshire Public Radio. With just about 5.5 minutes left to go, we're now just 34 gifts away. Your gift should be the next one to come in at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org. We're counting on you to wrap up this goal by 10 o'clock.
You can make it happen. 30 gifts left now at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org. An additional $10,000 hangs in the balance. So 30 calls and 30 logons to nhpr.org can mean an additional $10,000. So anything you give right now is worth that much more to us. 1-888-805-6477. 805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Hundreds and hundreds of people around the Granite State and around the region have already stepped forward and said, I know my gift isn't going to make it on my own, but I am choosing to do my part to support New Hampshire Public Radio. And now we're asking you to do the same thing. Now just 28 gifts away with 4 minutes left to go. You can make it happen when you call 1-888-805-6477.
You said you wanted less fundraising. Well, we agree with you. We need 28 gifts now at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org to keep the rest of this day fundraiser free. You can help that happen. 1-888-805-6477. You rely on New Hampshire Public Radio. Let us rely on you to have the rest of the day fundraiser free.
You can make that happen right now. We're building some serious momentum toward that $10,000 in challenge money that we could put to work for the Exchange and for the Diane Rehm Show, for Here and Now, and for Word of Mouth, Virginia Show. But to do that, we have to hear from you first. Now just 24 people, oh, I'm sorry, 20 gifts left to make it happen. 3 minutes left to do it. You can come through right now. You should. You must come through right now. We're counting on you at 1-888-805-6477.
It's been such a sluggish and gray winter, an aggressive winter for so many people, and you wonder, what can you do? How can you change things? How can you take an action? Well, you can take one right this morning as spring is on the horizon, calling us at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org. We're looking at 18 gifts left in the next 3 minutes. We can do it.
We can do it. We will do it. We will do it when we hear from you. That's how it always works. Listeners coming through, making challenges, keeping this public radio service strong. Now with just 2.5 minutes left to go, 16 gifts left to make this $10,000 challenge. But 10 o'clock is so close. Visit nhpr.org right now. You can make a quick, easy, and secure online gift, or you can call 1-888-805-6477. There is no better time than right now to do it.
12 gifts in 2.5 minutes away from $10,000, an additional gift from the Jack and Dorothy Byrne Foundation. 12 calls and 2 minutes left to keep us in between a day of fundraising free radio. Everything that you depend on, all things considered, Here and Now, the Diane Rehm Show. Call us at 1-888-805-6477. 11 gifts left now and 2 minutes to get there.
2 minutes to hear from 11 more people. That's you and 10 other Exchange fans and Diane Rehm fans. Together, we will wrap up this challenge successfully in the next couple of minutes and put an additional $10,000 to work for your public radio station. Now just 9 gifts left. You and 8 other people just like you making a gift of $100 or $120 or $20 a month. Make your gift right now at the level you want, and $10,000 will come with it at 1-888-805-6477.
You can also log on to nhpr.org, take a look at some of the terrific thank you gifts that we are giving you. And our biggest thank you, of course, is keeping the rest of this day fundraising free. 7 gifts left and 1 minute. 1-888-805-6477. Of course, we're counting gifts at nhpr.org as well. You can make this happen.
You will make this happen when you pick up that phone and call 1-888-805-6477, because the momentum has been building. The finish line is in sight. Now all we need is that last little push to make it happen. Just 5 gifts now and less than a minute to go. Can you help? You absolutely can. Call
1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org. 5 gifts between the $10,000 in New Hampshire Public Radio from the Byrne Foundation. 5 gifts left. Until we can keep the rest of this day fundraising free, we know you can make it happen. Call us at 1-888-805-6477. We have 30 seconds left to go.
And 5 gifts left to make. So the question is, are you going to put this challenge over the top? Are you going to earn the additional $10,000 by picking up the phone? Now's the time to do it.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. You did it. See? It was just like that. We have made the $10,000 challenge. And so Virginia and I say, we're canceling the drive for the rest of the day, fundraising free. If you haven't made your gift, though, you can still help out at 1-888-805-6477. And a big thank you.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio. The Diane Rehm Show is next. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and support also comes to us from Edward Jones, a financial services firm serving individuals and business owners. Edward Jones, making sense of investing, a member of SIPC. and from New Hampshire's community colleges committed to increasing the number of science, technology, engineering, and math graduates in New Hampshire.